Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just great.
Excellent. All right. We are going to review our assignments from Friday and through the weekend. So here's the April 28th assignment. We who live in concentration camps can remember those who walk through the huts comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken away from a person but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. Today, practice that last of the human freedoms by choosing unconditional love in each moment. Don't let anything rob you of the freedom to choose to be present and in love. Record and listen how choosing unconditional love transforms a moment, a day, a life. And then on Saturday we cannot choose whether to engage with the world, only how to. Today, notice how you engage with the world. What attitude of mind and heart do you bring to interactions with the people you meet, the objects you handle, the situations you encounter? If you notice that you're identified with ego, drop the story, take a few long, deep, centering breaths, and re-engage with the world with conscious, compassionate awareness. Record and listen. And then yesterday, don't change the world, change worlds. A good definition of suffering is the process of wanting it to be different from how it is. If we look at life from the perspective of ego, we only see what's wrong. Today, change your world and the world by changing your perspective. Employ an awareness lens that lets you see the perfection of life as life is. Record and listen.
Wow. Those are some powerful perspectives, aren't they?
Yep. Some really powerful perspectives.
And I will say that my personal favorite is the first one, the Friday quote, because that's the one we all get hung up on.
Mm-hmm.
I've been asked that question so many times over the decades. You know, but what about people in concentration camps? What about people who are in war zones? What about people who are in, so, you know, conditioned mind wants to take us out to, okay, all right, so, you know, maybe I can see that I don't actually have a reason to cling to suffering. But there are people who have a legitimate reason for doing that. Here's a fellow who was in those camps, you know, not talking about it as a theory, but actually there, and saw with his own eyes that people had the ability in the most hideous circumstances that most of us can imagine to be there and bringing that unconditional love to everyone that he encountered. So, yeah. We don't have a choice about whether or not to engage with the world, only how. And that choice is what practice is all about, that moment-by-moment choice.
Yes, and it's so synchronous that those three quotes came together, because the last one is, that's the how, right? Use the awareness lens and change your world.
Yes. Yeah. We have that ability. He's the chap who, in a moment of tremendous transformation, went back and kissed the leper who previously he had found so repulsive he couldn't even look at him, and to realize that oneness that is life, that there's nothing outside, nothing that cannot. It is not the unconditional and cannot be embraced in unconditional love and acceptance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Here is our first caller. You're
all
now
right,
live on the
you.
air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Isotta. Can you hear me?
Yes,
loud and clear.
How you doing?
Fantastic. It's so great. I have something to report about the last quote, the one about changing words from changing perspective. So, it's a report on the chores after I came to the monastery and I discovered this whole new world of chores. So, I decided to just be present to it. You know, I got home and conditioning was bombarding me. Now, you should do this, you should do that, you should do this. But I knew it would happen, so I was just ignoring it, you know. And today here, it's a holiday. It's a national holiday. And I am spending the holiday in a way I would never have spent it before because my perspective has changed. I took out all my clothes from all the closet and I'm throwing all the stuff I don't use away to donate it for a garage sale for the Africa project and folding neatly all the ones I love because I love them and I want them to be folded neatly. This is how I'm spending my holiday day. But it's not because I thought that I would, but because my perspective has changed. It's not that I said, I should really do that, you know? Like, I was like, ooh, this sounds like something I really want to do tomorrow. And I woke up all excited.
It is just flat out miraculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know? It's very much like that thing that we say in practice a lot, because conditioning wants us to believe that awareness practice is horrible. You're just going to spend all of your holidays doing a bunch of stuff that you hate because you should, because that'll make you the right person. And it's not true. We never give up anything. We just let go conditioning. And as we let go conditioning, we are freed up to do the things the heart has always wanted to do but wasn't allowed to do because conditioning was so loud about what it wanted to do. Right? So there you are, folding your clothes that you love and having a fabulous time.
Exactly. But really, I don't want to insist too much to describe what a fabulous time I am having because I remember me before listening to people saying stuff like that and thinking, oh, they're crazy, you know? How can it be, you know? Because it's something that changes without anyone wanting it. I don't know. I'm not able to explain it. I'm at a loss for. I have no words to describe it. Really,
right? But you're with a group of people who understand it, right?
Yeah.
So, which is really good.
And you know, another thing. Since I wanted to really, really enjoy it, and you know, I so much enjoyed the feeling of working meditation. I didn't turn the phone on until now, and now I'm just listening to the show, so I'm not doing that. So I just turned the phone on now to listen, but then I'm going to turn it off, you know, because, of course, conditioning was like, okay, but go online to check what's the perfect way to fold that. Or call your mom and tell her because she won't believe it, you know. But I decided, no, because this is not how it works at the monastery, you know.
Right. Right. Yeah. That is funny, though, because your mother wouldn't believe it, would she?
Yeah. I took a picture of before, and I'm going to, at the end of everything, I will send her the picture, yeah, before and after.
All right. Well, that is a very fun story from a gal who was horrified at the thought of sweeping to somebody who chooses to clean out her closets. That's quite a transformation.
Yeah. Well, I was always clear that it was conditioning that was horrified about sweeping. I never thought it was me. But yes. I'm so thankful. Thank you so much. And also to everybody there who was so patient with me when I was there. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye. And happy holidays.
Ah, oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sota.
Thank you.
It's such an interesting place, right, Sherry, that when we have that experience that Sota was talking about, and we have the intuition of the wisdom of keeping that energy for ourselves instead of dissipating it, which is what conditioned mind would want us to do. And that place in practice where you say, just twinkle, right? Because there's some way in which having that energy for life is an extraordinary experience.
Not dissipating it, just having it and enjoying it. And you can go for a walk, or you can clean out your closets, or you can do whatever it is that is something that takes care of you. Could even be helping somebody else clean out their closets who isn't able to. It doesn't matter, as long as that energy is being used to take care of us instead of, as you're pointing out, instead of letting conditioning dissipate it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Anne from England.
Hi, Anne.
Well, hello.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. You're a little, it sounds like you might be on a speaker or a...
Okay, let's see. Is that better? Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, you sound like you're right next door. Which
oh,
is
amazing.
We'd like you to be.
I'm just ringing really to say hi and say thank you guys so much for making me feel so welcome and all the amazing kindness I received at the monastery. It was unbelievable.
Oh, well, it was a joy to have you. Anytime.
Thank you. And I... Just, you know, because you had sent out that survey a few weeks ago about the monastery, and I would just say to anyone, it's a unique experience. It's hard to describe. It's something that you have to experience. because you have an idea what it might be, but it's just, I've never experienced anything like that in my life. The unconditional love and the complete freedom to be yourself in the privileged environment, that was a really new experience. And
go ahead. No, finish.
I was thinking, you know, I kind of thought, you know, not speaking, I've been in a silent retreat before, but I'd never been in a retreat where you had custody of the eyes, and that was the bit that really I found really freeing. You know, didn't matter what I looked like. You know, whether I brushed my hair or I didn't, you know. Do you know where I'm coming from? It was just really freeing. That's the word I would use.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is extraordinary, isn't it? And difficult, impossible to describe. And so I thought when you were saying that if people don't want to be regulars, they ought to at least put it on their bucket list, right? Of things I'm going to do before I die, because it is unlike anything else. People will say it's the best vacation ever.
Yes, honestly, that's what it felt like. I mean, when I came back, people said, "Well, how did you not talk for 2 weeks?" I said, "That was easy."
Yeah, it was so easy. Yeah. And then to be in nature like that, and it's so beautiful, and kind of living, almost living out of doors, and it's a great way to live.
It is. It's unbelievable. And you have the usual struggles with conditioning when you're there, and you have guidance on how to deal with that. And then when I came back, I was, you know, you. I don't know if there's an expectation to feel a certain way, but what I did notice was I find transitions really difficult. Don't know if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
If I may, that's one of the principles of awareness practice that we really hope people will get. that transition is where almost everybody goes unconscious during transition, and that's when egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate has the easiest time getting us.
Yeah.
Right? Because it gets us to focus on where we're going, so we're not focused on where we are. And by the time we get to where we're going, we're so messed up that, and then of course, we're kind of lost because now we're being beaten up. And especially coming back from a trip like that where you've been so present, and then it gets you, and, I understand.
It was... It was interesting to see because the transitions could be just from day to night time and then being beaten up at night time by the voices. Or even when the retreat was finished, that was another transition within my time being there. You know, but I think because I was there and I could really see what was happening, when that retreat finished, I was really with myself. And even though I felt really sad and cried most of the afternoon, it was okay because that transition was, I looked after myself with that transition. And that was okay, and to see that that's normal. We constantly are in transitions in life, you know, within every minute, every second is a transition, you know, for how we feel.
Yeah.
But,
and it's but that awareness that makes a difference, right?
It's that realization.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and even with the awareness, you know, like the massive transition back to work and going back to the UK, and that really bamboozled me. I think because I had to go straight back to work and I wasn't able to practice as much. But what did help was I took out the depression book and I literally wrote it out word for word in my own, you know, and that really helped. And I could see that I wasn't accepting how I felt. I was depressing how I felt. I realized I was feeling the process of depression, and I thought, well, what does that really feel like? What does that mean? And so I used my time just looking in that, and as soon as I sat reading that book, it just disappeared. It was really, really, not saying it's gone completely, and I'm really working today at looking after myself. It's also a holiday here, and I'm using working meditation to help me, and that's really great. You know, the working meditation really helps you to focus on just how you are now. So I don't know if that all sounds confusing and it sounds like I've gone from one extreme to the other, but it's kind of something I'm just working with at the moment, being okay with how it is, you know.
Exactly. That's it. Mm. And being in touch with how we are and accepting that. And the biggest one is to realize the power of transition, that literally just getting up and going from one room to the other, we are conditioned to go unconscious because I leave myself in preparation for where I'm going. I'm not here. And in that, we can be snatched and taken, you know, taken out of this moment and away from ourselves and into conditioned mind. And so that's the present moment awareness that we practice, right? Just this moment, and expanding the awareness to include everything. So how is the body? What are the sensations? What are the meanings that are attached to that? What are the thoughts that go with that? And just coming back, breathing, being right here. Yeah,
because when I went through that exact process at the monitoring room, I was cleaning the bathrooms, and I allowed myself just to feel and cry, and then it just went. And can see that's how you described it just now, you know. And I'm imagining if you were in a concentration camp, how much more difficult. But what I find that is in really difficult situations, something takes over for me. But it's in the small little day-to-day things that I find more challenging sometimes. And they're the ones you can't expect yourself to be okay in, but it's not always the case, you know. It's that.
And it's exactly the opposite, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
In an emergency, ego takes off and leaves you with life to get you through it. And in the little day-to-day things, ego is right there trying to get its claws in. And that's a really important point. we're conditioned to exactly the opposite. You know, like I have to be really careful and guarded against these big experiences that, you know, could be really threatening and frightening. And no, I'll be fine in those. It's that conversation about how I need to be afraid of the future that is the one that's going to kill me.
Yeah. Yeah, because my experience is in big situations, their practice is there for me. So that's exactly how I feel. You've totally reflected back how I feel. So thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you.
And I know the monks are listening.
Okay?
Yes, and I know the monks are listening. So I say thanks to them as well while I have the opportunity. And I really miss that place. And it'll be in my heart forever. And just thanks to everybody.
Thank you for
this program. It keeps me above water. So thank you very much.
Good.
Okay, bye bye.
Thank you. Take care. Bye bye.
Take care. Bye bye. Thank you, Ashwini. Bye bye.
Thanks, Anne. It is, isn't it, Sherry, that awareness, the expanded awareness in the day-to-day is where life is most vital and alive.
Yes, and joyful.
And to bring that expanded awareness to the moment is what St. Francis was talking about in Changing Worlds.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we all know that experience, don't we? We know that experience.
Yes.
We just get talked out of believing that it applies to a whole life. So
yes.
When we're right here and I don't know where I am, I'm looking out the window and the sun is on the trees and the birds are just knocking themselves out, just singing their little hearts out. And I mean, that's it. that's I'm as joyful as I have ever been or know how to be with just that. And so to be present to that, even if it includes mosquitoes and rain and wind and all of those things that I'm not as crazy about, to be completely present to that is as joyful as a human being can be.
Yeah. And that good comment about working meditation, which is what we do, the activity we do in pretty much all our lives, there's the joy, right? I just looked out of my window, and there's between the rafters, there's this entire silken cobweb, and there's this little spider industriously weaving the web. It's just so perfect under the sunlight.
Yeah. So she's doing her working meditation. You're doing your working meditation.
Yeah.
Joyful life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so mysterious. Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Linda.
Hey, Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Sounds like you're driving, okay. But we can hear you.
I guess. So yesterday's assignment really kind of is working for me today, because I'm kind of on my way to do sort of a stressful task, and I asked a friend of mine to come with me, and at the last minute she let me know that she's going to bring somebody else with her, and I'm not real excited about that. So would that be that? I could say that might be the issue.
So I missed that last little bit, Linda. So you're not that excited about that, but... Oh, darn. Did we lose Linda?
Well, I think we did. I mean, she's showing up unmuted in the queue, but we might not...
have contact.
She might be driving.
Out there on the road, yeah.
Okay, shall I bring on another caller?
And if we get her back, then... Linda?
Can you hear me now? Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, there you are. Oh, good, good,
okay,
good, good. Yeah, we got
good.
You.
I pulled over in a rest stop, and that's why I lost you. I was like, oh, no. So anyway, I'm parked now.
Should have kept driving. Okay, so you're not that excited that she chose to bring somebody else with her, and then I didn't hear the last part of that sentence.
Right. I just kind of feel like that might be ego, because it's the story is that I have social anxiety, and I won't become, like, I wanted her help, and now I'm going to have this third person, and I tend to get quiet when there's somebody around, and it's a person I don't know, and so But I don't have a choice about it at this point, so I'm trying to work on trying to practice the accepting what is.
Change. You're going to change your world and change worlds, right?
Right.
Yeah? Because conditioning would tell you that you have to go into this quiet mode because you don't know somebody. Well, sorry, that doesn't work today because you have this thing that you need to do that is difficult and stressful for you, and here's this person who's going to help you, and who knows, that other person may be the biggest help of all. We don't know.
Exactly.
If so, you can include her. If not, you can ignore her and just be polite and be your sweet self, but not give any attention to what conditioning is telling you you have to do or be because this stranger is there.
Right. Drop the story.
Drop the story that it's stressful. Let's make it really interesting and exciting, right? Because you're gonna do this. What conditioning calls stressful is usually that. It's new, it's interesting, it's exciting. I mean, it's new in the sense that we know it's new. I'm going off to do this thing, and it's brand new for me here today. And drop that story about how you need to be around strangers because you don't. Let a friend of your friend be a friend. Here's somebody new in your life. Yeah?
Yeah.
What are you seeing? What are you hearing?
Yeah. Well, you tell me this girl's going to be my best, like I'm just going to love her, and I'm like, you're putting a little pressure on me here because I don't know if I'm going to love her or not. But,
into it.
And then I guess it's really yakking at me in the back of my mind is the whole thing with the task, which is to find an apartment for my stepdaughter in Atlanta. And there's so much fear involved. It's like, so that's the stressful part. So,
Linda, this might be a good opportunity to do, and it's difficult, isn't it? Because you could be doing a lot of recording and listening about this, but now you've got these other people there, so that's going to make that challenging, right?
I have another hour before I get there, though.
Okay, well, good. And, you know, maybe this is a wonderful opportunity to practice turning it over to life.
Oh, right, okay.
Just acknowledge you're not in charge. You have no control. You have no idea how this is going to go, but you trust life, right? It's going to go the way it goes, and ask for all the assistance and support that you can get, and experience it as a retreat. You know, you go on you have to go back to the first retreat you ever went on, right, with us. Where I don't know what this is going to be like. I have no idea even what to expect. I'm going to be open to it because I'm on retreat. This is a workshop.
Exactly.
And so I know that it's my best opportunity to see as much as I can see about how this works for me, how the suffering happens, how I can be free, how I can be present, how I can have unconditional love for this human being called Linda. And that's what the day is. And just let, to the best of your ability, stay with the breath and relax those shoulders and just say, I'm yours, life. Lead me. Guide me. Take care of me. Show me.
Okay. I like that. All right. I'm going to do that. I'll make a recording on the way. Yeah.
And when, if you want to be really, step out into the vulnerability here, tell these other women. You know, this is what goes on. I get really stressful and nervous and, so what I'm focusing on, tell them what you're focusing on. Have a conversation about it. You know, I get really nervous around people I don't know. And then I tend to clam up and all this, and I don't want to do that because so-and-so says I'm going to love you, and I'm sure I am. So I'm going to, put it all out there. Then you've got nothing to hide. Right?
There you go.
Conditioning can't do anything to us if we're not hiding out with it.
Right.
And just kind of laugh
and then
about
they can
it.
Help
it's,
you.
It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, you can laugh yeah. about it. You can talk right. about it. You know, you can say, oh, my God, my stomach's in a knot. And they, you know, and then you can even tell them what to say to you to talk you down.
I guess,
you
yeah.
can say, my stomach's
okay.
in a knot. Okay, you guys, tell me it's going to be all right. Tell me this is going to work out. Tell me it's not, you know, it's not life and death, and it's not all, and my husband's not going to kill me if I don't find an apartment
right.
for his daughter. And, you know,
if something happens to her, yeah. the apartment, it won't be my fault.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, just.
Because that's kind of ridiculous, yeah.
It really is. And all this stuff is only ridiculous when it's got us inside our head alone. So if we put it out there and we just, it's, you know, it's what other people have talked about with, you know, with acknowledging the feelings. I acknowledge the feelings,
right.
and then, poof, they're not a problem. But if I don't acknowledge them, whoo, conditioning's going to tear me up.
Right. Just
okay, so you got that
it.
Hour.
Yeah.
You got
it.
Those recordings.
Yep.
Yeah, you got
okay.
it. All right. And then you're going to let me know, right?
I will. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you both.
Right. Thanks. Thanks, Linda.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Linda. That's just
what an
so,
exciting day, huh?
I know. Such an Aikido move on conditioned mind that it wants us to keep it all inside and feel like we have to keep it together and not ask for support. And then just to reveal
yeah.
what it's doing is that exquisite place in practice of recognizing that it's not who I am and therefore I don't have to protect it. Revealing
yeah.
it frees
yeah.
me. To receive
yeah.
all the love and support from life that I am looking for.
Yeah. 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 I love that. It's an Aikido move.
Mm-hmm.
And the expression that I think of that goes with it is take the wind out of its sails. You know, it's
yes.
got all this stuff it's going to come at you with, and you just say, okay, and start telling everybody, and then it's got nothing. You know, it's a blackmailer. Comes at you and says, I'm going to tell people that blah, blah, blah. And you just take out an ad, you know, and then that's it. There's nothing
yep.
else. It has no more power.
Yep, exactly
yeah,
so.
I love it. Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the end of a wonderful show, Sherry, and here's our assignment for the day.
All right.
Wow, it's May 1st.
I know. That's why it's a big holiday, huh?
Yeah. The truest mm-hmm. greatness lies in being kind, the truest wisdom in a happy mind. That sounds so simple, doesn't it? Until we try to be that, of course. When we make the greatness of kindness and the wisdom of a happy mind our focus, we can see clearly just what the ego maintenance system does to prevent us from experiencing the simple goodness. Today, notice the conditioned mind attempts to put between you and the happy mind of kindness. Don't fall for it. Be kind instead and experience your greatness. Record and listen.
What fun. That was really for Linda, huh?
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ashwini. Take good care
thank
of yourself,
you.
Huh? And
you.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Go happy.